Hey everyone, it's Jason Bennett from Pop Cult HQ and Pod Cult HQ. Welcome to the premiere episode of Pros of Cons. This new feature spotlights organizers, promotions, and individuals behind comic conventions to learn more about what it takes to have a thriving event, as well as look at their upcoming show. Today, I'm joined by the owner and co-founder of Atomic Hush Events, the fine people behind the epic show Comic-Con Revolution Ontario, which is held this year, May 18th and 19th in Ontario, California at the Ontario Convention Center. If you haven't heard the word Ontario enough. And it's celebrating its seventh year this year. And you can purchase tickets now at ccrtix.com. That's ccrtix.com. And so please welcome. And it's my pleasure to introduce and talk Comic-Cons with Drew Selden. Drew, welcome.
Jason, thank you. It's great to be here. It's great to be on the premiere episode of what you guys are doing. I think it's super cool. I think that a lot of people are going to really be fired up to follow us, unless, of course, I screw up so badly that nobody ever wants to hear this kind of stuff again. So I'm going to do my best for you.
You're setting the bar, you know, so you're establishing that. And if it's low, okay, then, you know, maybe then you're helping out the next guest, you know, giving them something to shoot for. Seventh year, congrats. I mean, it's great to see that kind of longevity with an event that showcases, you know, comics and cosplay and conventions, pop culture, and even survive a pandemic. What do you and I know some people didn't make it out the other end, you know. What do you and Atomic Crush Events credit or attribute to the success and general positive response year after year by those appearing and those attending your show?
Well, my partners, Mike Sigliano and James Ross and myself, you know, when we wanted to start this, the idea was that we'd all worked at a bunch of shows for other people. And every time you're working, and whether you're working, you know, a hourly rate job or you're the vice president of whatever, you always have your own ideas and you always say, wow, if I was ever going to do it and I was the boss, I would do this.
Sure.
And kind of it evolved out of that idea. You know, we'd both, like I said, we'd all been doing different things. And the idea just presented itself of, hey, let's give it a shot. So it was a matter of, you know, finding a unserviced location, which in 2017 was a little rough because you can, you know, throw a dart at a board and hit a con, whether it was a good one or a bad one or an indifferent one. But yeah, and we, you know, kind of stumbled upon the Inland Empire. It was, you know, close enough to Los Angeles for being able to get great guests, but it was also far enough away where people might not have been making their trip down to the LA Convention Center. So really it was, you know, it was finding that locale and then building from there.
Wow. And you know what? I think the timing of it too, May is really nice because you've already passed C2E2, you know, Emerald City, you know, WonderCon, and you haven't hit San Diego yet. So you're kind of in this spot here where, you know, there's good opportunities to draw a lot of people, especially with all the creators you have down in the, you know, California and in the Southwest here. Certainly. And you mentioned about the Inland Empire. It's something I want to just briefly touch on. You know, it's always been, there's been a few things about your show that's always impressed me, and we're going to be talking about those today. One of the things, it's how your show is embraced by the local community, the Inland Empire. I mean, more so than any convention I can recall covering. That you just year after year, whether it's a news organization, whether it's, you know, Ontario or maybe Riverside or, you know, wherever, you know, Southern California, you just have just such support in the region. So, you know, I'm wondering how crucial are those relationships with regards to your event and its success?
Yeah, I mean, that they're incredibly crucial, Jason. I mean, and partnerships in any business are really important, but The amazing thing that the Inland Empire did was embrace us. You know, it was almost like they were clamoring for an event that they didn't know that they were clamoring for. You know, there's roughly 12
Sure.
million people in the Inland Empire, or something along those lines. You know, and all of a sudden they had, hey, this is ours. This is our show. You know, these celebrities, these creators, these artists that we love and admire and revere are coming here. We're not going to see them. They're coming to see us.
Right.
And that whole idea really from, you know, the mayor used to come with his kids for the first couple of years. The convention center has been an incredible partner. The visitors bureau, the hotels in the area, you know, it's, listen, when you have a convention center, obviously you thrive on, your community thrives on that business. And this
Sure.
was, right, this is beyond the idea of a trade show. You know, this is a consumer event where it's not just the restaurants and the hotels that are benefiting, enjoying, partaking. You know, this was everybody, you know, coming to do their own part in it. But, you know, without the community, wherever you are embracing your business, whether it's a convention or a furniture store or a veterinarian's office, you know, it really, you can't thrive without that. And we love the Inland Empire and the way they embrace us. And that's why that's also a motivator to make a great show year in and year out and have it run well and try and avoid controversy and try and avoid, you know, a bad element and all the things that can happen when you get, you know, 15, 20,000 people together for something. And you know, it's really important for us to know that families are going to come and they're going to enjoy and, you know, they can get the kids, you know, in for free and things like that. Again, that's my partners and I, we're all family men, and it's important to have that. And really, the Inland Empire has fully embraced us.
And that's, yeah, definitely. You do definitely see that where everyone is kind of coming together. Year after year that I attend your show, the comic creators I speak with, one of the things I always say, hey, how's the show going for you? And, certain conventions have been maybe not always all that great. All the celebs are taking the people away or they're not here for the comics or whatever. But every year, every creator that, they have nothing but great things to say about you guys, how it's managed and represented, and your overall promotion, which I don't know if I remember right. I think this year's show in May was promoting stuff back at least like the last 3 or 4 months of 2023. So you've had this ongoing
Right.
build up to this show, and you have. Just amazing people coming with celebrities and wrestlers and comic guests and it's just you just seem to keep adding more and more and it seems like so overwhelming. But the one thing I want to touch on is the voice actors. It really seems to go. It's shaping up to be the highlight of, or main attraction at this year's show. You have a number of guests who have voted. Excuse me, voiced for the X-Men animated series. As well as the recently dropped X-Men 97, which everyone's going crazy about. And last I counted with today's announcement, I think there's six people, the voices of Magneto, Bishop, Gambit, Rogue, Professor X, and Sunspot. So it's like, so it just made me think it's like, well, when deciding on or selecting guests to appear at Comic-Con Revolution Ontario, what do you take in consideration? Is it previous guests? Do guests reach out to you? Is it fan response, or is it pretty strategic and keeping on top of current pop culture trends, like the X-Men 97 franchise?
Well, it's funny, you know, a lot of it starts with what my partners and I love. You know,
Okay.
as resident geeks, it's kind of like, you know, hey, if we think something might be a hit with our fan base, then maybe it will. Now, listen, we've swung and missed on some stuff, but listen, last year we did something where we brought the entire Avatar, The Last Airbender voice cast together, and that had never been done before. And as it started to come together, you know, it was some us reaching out, and then when people were hearing about it, their representatives started reaching out. So it's an evolution. And you know, this year, at the end of last year, we're like, oh my God, how are we going to top that? Or, you know, how are we going to try and equal it or at least come close? And you know, we're doing a big thing at the X, and I'll get to the X-Men thing in a second, but then we said, okay, you know, what's the biggest baddest thing out there. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, Star Wars. So saying, okay, what, you know, are we gonna go after Rebels? Are we gonna have the Clone Wars? And then we said to ourselves, why not both? And we did that. So, you know, that came together, and that was a big voice actor, you know, reach for us for this year. And we always love to get wrestlers because wrestlers and Comic Cons go hand in hand with the shows. Last year we had Mercedes Renato. You know, this year we got AEW champ Samoa Joe, which is
Oh
also,
yeah, I'm
you know.
still fighting the urge to get a photo with Trish Stratus and Lita.
Well, you got to get with Team Bestie. I mean, it's hard not to.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, just flashbacks through my well, not childhood, but
Oh,
my
your wrestling youth, we'll call it.
I remember those years.
Yeah, they were great, you know. And then as things evolve, yeah, we have our plan for the show, and but then something will happen, like X-Men 97, and we'll start, you know, dropping feelers and putting looks in. And really, the show dropped. It became this really tremendous
Oh yeah.
instantaneous hit. So again, it kind of was like, okay, we're the next show in line. We should really do something with this because the fan base is going to want it. And then we started to make our reach outs, and luckily, you know, some hard work, and then the relationships you build and other people reaching out, and all of a sudden it comes together because they want to promote as well. So, but that's
Sure.
going to, that panel is actually Sunday morning. That's going to be an interesting one. That
Now that's a
really.
combination, isn't it, of X-Men animation and X-Men 90. I
Yes.
mean, so it's not just the X-Men 97. It's
It's
a
going to be
larger
everything.
picture.
Right. So yeah,
And
like I said, that's going to be an exciting one on Sunday morning. So,
that's I know it's insane. Just the list, and I you better get your go and get your ticket, CCRTIX.com. And you're gonna want to get there early to make sure you get a seat. And you know, you had mentioned about the convention center having a great relationship with you. You know, one thing I like is it's laid out very well, and you've done a remarkable job in utilizing the spaces available. I remember the first year I went, it was either year one or two. I was impressed how celebs had their own room, and you know, instead of a section on the main floor, that a lot of rooms for paneling, and that. You know, the main hall or the main floor was really kind of dedicated to comics, and especially you had in the center was all Artist Alley,
Right.
and which really impressed me. I mean, almost. I mean, well, more than the great parking prices. I'm always I never pay that cheap for parking at any event. I always expect 20 or more.
Right.
You know, it really gave the impression that Comic-Con Revolution and Atomic Crush events, you know, understood and recognized that, you know, it was comic creators and the comic book industry that is really at the core of this convention. Is that a fair assessment?
It's definitely for assessment, and it is how we think. I mean, the show in itself is really a love letter to creators, artists, colorists, creators, and we always try and bring in different people each year. Yes, there are some mainstays who, you know, are friends of the company who will always have a table for or will always have a booth for. But you know, we, I mean, listen, we brought Chris Claremont the last couple of years, and quite honestly, if we brought Chris Brack again, he'd have lines around the building because he's Chris Claremont. But you
Sure.
know, it's just you have to, we get, you know, we had to switch things up. And again, this year we're bringing in Adam Kubert, you know, and we've never had him before, and
That's
that's a
great.
very exciting get for us. You know, it's
Yeah.
somebody who's been on our radar, who we wanted, and it really it is someone special. You know, we're bringing in Jimmy and Amanda Palmiotti and Connor, and you know, again, these are people, yes, they've been there before, but it's been a while and it's time for them to come back.
Right.
You know, so again, it's really, it's looking at who haven't we had, who's available, and making that match. And you said it is at the core. You know, yes, the big faces, you know, you need to put on billboards and posters who are recognizable to the mainstream fan. But when we send, you know, our newsletters and our messaging to the comic core base, you know, of hey, this many exhibitors are going to be there, and this many dealers are going to be there, and this has person has, Silver Age, and this person has, mainly indies. Like I said, there's just so many things that you really want to make sure you have on your show floor. And not to sound, cliché, but really so there's something for everybody in the sense of that, hey, I've never been to a con before. I don't know what to expect. What am I going to see here? Well, you're going to see this, and this. Yeah, well, I'm a hardcore collector. I don't care about your celebrities. I need to be able to finish out my collections, maybe sell a few books, maybe buy a few books, or I'm here to see this artist because I've been following them for their entire career and I need my sketch done or I need my, whatever sign. So like I said, there really is that the importance of that, of getting enough for everybody to enjoy the show, whether again they're hardcore or they're just trying their first con.
And especially down in that region, if you can't afford to go to WonderCon or can't even get tickets to San Diego, you're still getting some big name comic creators and people, industry professionals who are making that appearance. And so, yeah, definitely people regionally who are excited. Wow, they're actually coming here, like you're kind of stating earlier. And, I just want to touch real quick on, you mentioned that you and James and Mike are fans yourself. Which is obviously apparent for anyone who's been there. You can't have a successful convention like such as yours without the people being fans themselves behind the shows. What's your personal fandom? What do you geek out over? What are you
Well,
hoping to see for, for your own for your own personal interest, but we can say it's for the show.
I mean, listen, I am 53 at the moment. So in 1977, I was 6 years old and I went to see a movie called Star Wars. And my father will tell this story that when the first yellow letters came across, he said, I stood up on my seat and didn't sit down for the entire movie. I
Right.
didn't blink. I didn't turn away. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. So really for me, I mean, I guess where my love of pop culture and all this began was in a movie theater, in northern New Jersey,
Okay.
May of 77. And it's been there ever since, So I've passed it on to my children who are now in college. And
Yeah.
their friends think that, what I do is just the most incredible thing. But again, it's become so big and such a massive part of society. But again, for me, if this year's show is going to be something special, it's going to be, seeing the characters from Rebels and from Clone Wars. Like I said, that for me will be the moment this year.
It's remarkable. Who would have thought? So I'm real close in age in year. I was born in 73, so I was a little young for Star Wars, but I did go to Empire and Jedi. Well, I had Star Wars action figures. I see them on now on eBay. I'm just kicking myself. I took things out of packages and don't know where they are anymore. But who thought we would get into such a large just universe? I mean, they'd be so socially accepted across, different generations, different, backgrounds. And I remember the prequels. I was floored when they were doing that. I went nuts. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I'll do the prequels. It's really shaping up to be a great fan base.
Yeah,
So a lot of people are gonna get that from some of your guests this year.
and then again, where do my superhero alliances lie? I'm a DC guy by heart. I mean,
Okay.
Justice League of America, to me, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, you have a table and sitting around that is Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern,
And I'm
Flash. I
sure you grew up with the Super Friends
Of course.
cartoon, so like I did, so sure.
Super Friends, Challenge of the Super Friends, Battle of the
Yeah.
Super, and so like I said, for me, to see who's coming and they've drawn this issue or they've drawn that issue. And it's just it to me it's an incredible world. And like you'd said, I mean, think about over the last 15 years. I mean, the acceptance and with what Marvel did and with what Warner did and what Nolan did. I mean, these characters, you know, they've just become even more iconic than they ever were, and so much more, like you said, socially acceptable and part of the mainstream, you know,
Sure.
and that even becomes because, you know, more mainstreamers, and let's, I guess, using sports as an example, you know, when athletes are wearing superhero stuff, makes it more acceptable. When an athlete is gaming online with a streamer, it makes it, you know, more acceptable in a way where when you
Sure.
and I were younger, it never did. So it really, I mean,
That engagement.
what the industry has become over the last, again, 15, 20 years is just, it's really just incredible.
Yeah, it's not just for nerds anymore.
Yeah,
Or
or there's just a
it's cool
lot
to be
more
a
nerds.
nerd, I
Right.
guess.
There's just a lot more nerds out there. So everyone lets their geek flag fly now. Definitely.
You know, I really appreciate the what I've just looking back and everything we spoke of in today's episode and our interview here, it just really points out the underlying it just bold statement to me that Atomic Crush events and Comic-Con Revolution Ontario aren't just about the fans, the cosplayers, the whatever. And you have a, you know, a great cosplay convention too on a Saturday night, the 18th. But above and beyond that, it's that you really value relationships in, you know, establishing new ones, strengthening others. Like we're saying, whether it's the, you know, people within the local region, the Inland Empire and Greater Ontario area, you know, whether it's comic creators or celebrities or cosplayers, event staff, and convention center, you know, and equally so the fans. I just have to say, you know, my hat's off to you guys.
Don't exclude yourself. We need the media as well. You're a big part of the partnership, and obviously we appreciate the honesty and all the good reporting. So
I'm
don't exclude.
happy to. I've loved your show since the first time. Every year, I've never been disappointed. Like I said, like when you first walk in, the first thing you do is, you know, pay, what was it, like $15 parking? You know, I think maybe it was 10, I don't know, but it was less than 20. And that just started off the show for me. I'm in a good mood. I got an extra $5 on me, you know.
Got
Hey,
to
so
keep it on the show floor, though.
hey, well, yeah, it's
Yeah.
just, man, if they just had in and out privileges.
Well, that's the convention center. They're tough customers.
Yeah, I realize that, but still, it's great. It's a great deal. I haven't seen that anywhere in all the shows I've done. Before wrapping up, I want to give you just one little opportunity to how would you describe this year's event? What are the highlights? What is the pitch that you would make to people who haven't gotten tickets yet you know, what's the show going to be about this year?
Sure. As with everything, if you come out May 18th and 19th, Ontario Convention Center, Comic-Con Revolution, year seven, you know, you're going to come to a family-friendly pop culture Comic-Con that is run by people who love what they do and who love the industry. You're going to meet celebrities who are excited to meet you. And whether it's your Star Wars people or your X-Men people or your wrestlers, you know, they're looking forward to meeting you. They don't do shows because they want to sit there and not meet fans. So you got that. If you want to dress up and you want to have some fun, there's going to be tons of cosplay. There's going to be people to be photographed with. There's going to be professional cosplayers there if you have questions on how to get started. There's a full slate of panels about everything related to the industry and not just, you know, the Star Wars Rebels or the Clone Wars or the X-Men panel. There's going to be how to get started, how to draw, how to produce an indie book, how to build cosplay armor. So again, it's, you know, there's stuff like that. Hey, if you just want to come and shop and you're looking for whether it's a rare book or not even a rare book, a certain artist, a certain writer, you'll be able to find the books there. If you're looking for toys, if you're looking for collectibles, it's all going to be there. We have the movie star cars out front. We've streamlined the process on getting in. We've got the, you know, all the electronic safety detection devices, so you're going to breeze right through, so there shouldn't be long lines. We've got food trucks. So really, what am I telling you? You're going to have a great weekend. It's a weekend ticket right now online is $50. Kids, 12, 10 and under are free. So, it can be an inexpensive, affordable weekend for a family. You guys can come both days. You can look at panels. You can walk the floor. You can meet your celebrities. You can get your photo ops. You can, sit outside at the food trucks. Like I said, it's just a great weekend. I wish I had a better sales pitch, but that's just from the heart. It really is just going to be a fun weekend.
It really sounds like whatever your fandom,
Yeah, it's going to
you're going
be
to be
there.
able to find it and celebrate it, and with others who share that same passion and love for whatever your interest,
Yeah,
whatever you like, really.
whatever floats your boat, it really is. So,
Definitely a real accepting and a great crowd that always turns out for it, and on both sides of the table too. So definitely go out and get tickets for the 7th annual Comic-Con Revolution Ontario this May 18th and 19th at the Ontario Convention Center. And you can get tickets at ccrtix.com. And Drew, thanks for taking the time to speak with us at Popcode HQ and Podcode HQ. And looking forward to seeing you in, well, looks like about a month.
yes, about a month. Thank you for having me on, Jason, and
Hey,
best
my
of luck
pleasure.
with the new series, and a pleasure again, and I look forward. We'll definitely hook up in about a month.
Definitely. I love it. Thanks, man. Be sure to go get your tickets for this year's Comic-Con Revolution Ontario, California on May 18th and 19th. You can buy tickets now at ccrtix.com. That's ccrtix.com.